For the first time in 10 years, the leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution has visited the city of Qom. Outsiders who witnessed the welcome he received were struck by its magnitude, but in Iran it was no surprise that thousands of people, young and old, came out onto the streets to see the arrival of Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei. His high-profile 10-day visit began on October 19th. The city of Qom is home to the largest Shia seminaries known as Hawzeh in the world. It's in these Islamic schools that thousands of scholars are trained and go on to receive the highest level of Islamic consciousness. And it was for this reason, among others, that the leader decided to visit Qom, to hold meetings on Iran's seminaries and discuss their vital role in society. In this segment, we will be looking at the role played by the leader and the seminaries of Qom in Iran today. For 2,500 years, the Iranian Empire was run by kings. Hundreds of totalitarian rulers came and went, supreme rulers who were born into power, inheriting their position as part of an ancestral line. The Iranian people had little or no authority over the way their country was being run. But for the past 31 years, a new system of governance has been put in place. A people-driven system guided and regulated by Islamic law. For the first time in Iran's history, the will of the Iranian people is being enforced. In 1979, the Islamic Revolution brought Iran's monarchical system to an abrupt end, leaving the world dumbfounded. The sheer number of people that came out in opposition to the long-standing regime managed to cripple the system and remove the Shah from power. The leader of the movement, Ayatollah Ruhollah Khomeini, was called upon to take the helm. His position as a religious cleric would now be morphed into a political and religious one. 18 days after the victory of the Islamic Revolution, Imam Khomeini returned to Qom to play a more active role as a cleric and jurisprudent. The people saw him as their savior and natural leader. Thus it was that Imam Khomeini was appointed by the people to a much bigger role, the leader of the Islamic Republic of Iran. A committee was formed to rewrite the Iranian constitution based on the teachings of Islam, in which the role of the leader was clearly defined as the highest authority in the country. He would have to be not only a political leader, but a religious one as well. The responsibility of appointing or removing the leader was given to what is called the Assembly of Experts, a group of 86 high-ranking Islamic scholars who are chosen directly by the people. The Assembly of Experts must also watch over and evaluate the conduct of the chosen leader and release an annual report on his performance. The leader of Iran himself appoints the head of major posts, namely the commanders of the armed forces, the director of the National Radio and Television Network, the members of National Security Councils, and the head of the judiciary. The fact that Ayatollah Khamenei's visit to Qom lasted 10 days is significant. This city is seen as the beating heart of the revolution, the movement that propelled Iran into a new era in which Islamic law replaced monarchical rule began here in the city of Qom. It began in 1963 with a speech given by Imam Khomeini against the Shah. Khomeini was imprisoned for his defiance, and the people poured onto the streets to oppose the Shah's audacity. The protests spread to cities around the country and eventually led to a full-scale uprising against the Shah's regime. It's because of this that Iranians still see Qom as not only a religious stronghold, but a political one as well, a fact that the leader stressed upon in his visit to the Holy City.
نظام مستظهر به حوزه‌های علمیه است. این به خاطر این است که نظریه پردازی سیاسی و نظریه پردازی در همه جریان‌های اداره یک ملت و یک کشور در نظام اسلامی به عهده علمای دینه.
The theology schools of Qom, the world's biggest schools of Shia thought, give the city added significance. To elaborate on this, we met with Hamid Reza Taraqi, a member of the Islamic Coalition Party. Mr. Taraqi says the most important function of Qom's Hawze is to offer guidance to the government.
Hawze dastavardhay khodesh ro va teoriyahay تدوین شده خودش رو به رهبری عرضه میکنه، رهبری بر اساس سیاست های کلانی که در کشور ابلاغ میکنه و تصویب میکنه، این تئوری ها که پشتوانه اون سیاست ها هست رو به دولت و مجریان ابلاغ میکنه برای اجرا.
The fact that the Hawze is linked to the establishment and that religion has an active role in politics has raised questions and sparked criticism over the years. The primary concern expressed by various critics is that by entering into politics, religious authorities run the risk of diminishing their holy status and sullying religion with politics. Abbas Salimi Namin, the director of Iran's Historical Research Center, says that this line of thought was what prevented Christianity from taking an active role in the governance of Western countries, making religion subordinate to politics and the power of the state.
سفر اخیر رهبری به قوم این معنا رو کاملا روشن میکنه که تلقی در واقع رهبری و امام این نبود که مثلا آقایون در قوم بیان مثلا مناصب دولتی بگیرن یا وابسته به حقوق دولت بشن و دنبال روی دولت باشن، خیر، اما درک کنن که بشر امروز در آفریقا، در آسیا، در جاهای مختلفی که رو به دین آورده و امروز احساس میکنه تنها جایی که میتونه بهش آرامش بده تن دادن به قوانین الهی در اداره جامعه است.
But the movement begun by Ayatollah Khomeini in 1963 gave birth to the concept of political Islam, in other words, the fusion of politics and religion. In his meeting with members of the Qom theology schools, Ayatollah Khamenei emphasized that Islam without the ulama and the separation of religion and politics are all tactics employed by arrogant world powers.
حوزه علمیه به خصوص حوزه علمیه قوم مادر این نظام است. به وجود آورنده و مولد این انقلاب و این حرکت عظیم است. چگونه میتوانه یک مادر از زاده خود، فرزند خود غافل بمانه، نسبت به او بی‌تفاوت باشه؟
On October 19th, thousands of people lined the streets of Qom to greet Ayatollah Khamenei, the leader of the Islamic Revolution, and the turnout was impressive.
It is a very outstanding thing that I can acknowledge and rectify to in this interview, that thing is a significance for me, that in whatever circumstances the people are attached to the leader and the leader are attached to the people.
Months before the leaders' visit to Qom, Western media upped their propaganda campaign against the Iranian establishment, depicting a rift between leadership and the general public. BBC Persian and Voice of America described this rift as a legitimacy crisis for the establishment.
We saw so much propaganda against this travel, and they tried to highlight the problem between the leader and other great ulama in Qom.
هیچ گونه بحران مشروعیتی در واقع در وضعیت رهبری کشور ما نه تنها وجود نداره بلکه از بالاترین مقبولیت و مشروعیت در واقع برخوردار.
But as far as the leader is concerned, it's the Islamic ideology that is governing Iran, so there cannot be any rift between the establishment and the ulama. He believes their organic unity is so strong that the failure of one guarantees the failure of the other.
اینا همه بدانن امروز سرنوشت روحانیت و سرنوشت اسلام در این سرزمین وابسته و گره خورده به سرنوشت نظام اسلامی است. نظام اسلامی اندک لطمه‌ای ببینه یقینا خسارت اون برای روحانیت و اهل دین و علماء دین از همه آحاد مردم بیشتر خواهد بود. البته نظام زنده است، نظام سرپاست، نظام قوی است. با اطمینان کامل عرض می‌کنم نظام بر همه چالش هایی که در مقابلش قرار دارد فائق و پیروز خواهد شد.
آیت الله خامنه‌ای has rejected in the strongest of terms the claims made by propaganda machines funded by the West. He says such a rift between the clergy and the establishment does not exist. In Qom, he sat down with the jurisprudents on various occasions.
Unfortunately, in the propaganda of those foreign sources, we saw so much lying that they spread it over. For example, they said that for Ayatollah Zanjani, for instance, they said that they went to his class. And they arrested him, and they forced him that you should go at the moment. You should come with us, and you should visit the leader. So much lies. That what we saw that this is not the case. All these ulama, they came to visited him. They visited him, and they welcomed his presence, and they had many good relation with him.
این در واقع تواضع دلیل بر اینکه نظام ضعف داشته باشه یا نیازمند به در واقع چنین ارتباطی باشه نیست، بلکه بیانگر اون روابطی است که مبتنی بر اخلاص، مبتنی بر صداقت، مبتنی بر تواضع و فروتنی رهبری است و کاملا در واقع هر گونه و حتی ذره ای روحیه دیکتاتوری و سلطه طلبی رو کاملا نشون میده که در فرد از بین رفته و وجود نداره و خالص برای خدا و برای خدمت به مردم تلاش میکنه.
Since the Islamic Revolution, the Iranian government has invested largely in setting up seminaries for foreign students to come and learn the Shia teachings of Islam.
As you see, different nationalities we have here, over 100 students, you know, from Africa, from all the continents, like Africa, Europe, America, Australia, Asia. It's not just for a special, you know, city or special country, all over the world. And even we have from Iraq, and even from United States, Canada, around the world. You come here for studies.
On the 25th of October, Ayatollah Khamenei met with some of the students and Islamic scholars studying in these schools. In this meeting, the leader stressed the need for the establishment of an international Islamic center via which all Islamic nations and communities can come together to cooperate and share their cultures. One of Qom's most prestigious theology schools is the Al Mustafa International University. We spoke to some of the students studying here after their meeting with the leader.
As far as I know, this was the first time he met with foreign students. It's been the height of my stay in Iran so far, so that's the it's the best thing that's happened to me in Iran. So I think it's really good, and it encourages foreign students to come here, work harder, study harder, because the rehbar himself is interested in our development. So that's very important for us.
It was very welcoming to the students to know that we are very welcomed in Iran, that this Iran is our home, and that we should not feel strangers in Iran. Secondly, we should appreciate and take heed of the knowledge that is apparent in Iran. We should use that when we go back to our own countries to try and make people aware of real Islam.
The other things, you know, he talked about was, you know, ilm without basira, which was one thing that really, really mattered, because he mentioned, you know, and for the first time he mentioned some of the points that it is very important to have basira and understanding. You can be the most knowledgeable person, but if you do not have basirat, you can end up picking the, you know, haq or batil. That's one of the things that really mattered.
The other thing he talked about, which was very important, was the hawza and studying deep knowledges. And that's like right now in the international hawza, we have the subjects are shallow, the books are small. And you see in the Iranian hawza, the books are much bigger and deeper, and studies are much longer.
He led us that we are foreigners from other countries. We came to study here. We should feel home. We should feel like we are not strange or other people. Like we are much more better than the people of Iran. We even call us that we are his own generation after him. Let me say.
But maybe the most important reason for Ayatollah Khamenei's visit to Qom was to call for reform in the way seminaries are being run and their methods of teaching. He said seminaries have a significant role in spreading positive trends in society and stressed the fact that these institutions must move with the times so they can answer questions on religion and Islam.
فکر نو لازمه پاسخ به نیازهای نو به نو لازم است که داره مثل سیل این نیازها مطرح میشه در دنیا باید شما جواب براش فراهم بکنید جواب شما باید ناظر باشد به این نیاز و نیز ناظر باشد به پاسخهایی که مکاتب گوناگون و فرقه های گوناگون میدن
We have a dialogue between Islam and the West, between what we are going to suggest to people to, that can solve the present problem of the world. So because of that, we have so many questions.
وقتی که معتقدیم که هر رتب و هر یابسی که شما بخواهید، هر مطلبی رو که بخواهید در قرآن و در اسلام وجود داره و میتوانه نیاز بشر رو تا پایان در واقع عمر جهان تأمین بکنه، باید بتوانیم اینها رو از متون اسلامی متناسب با روز استخراج بکنه و این نیازمند به تحول در حوزه، نیازمند به بروز رسانی حوزه در پاسخگویی به نیازهای بشر هست که خوشبختانه در این توصیه های مقام معظم رهبری کاملا نهفته بود و حوزه رو به یک حرکت و به یک جهش در بروز رساندن در واقع سوق داد.
One of the issues Ayatollah Khamenei elaborated on was human sciences. He said the Iranian people and academia have become the consumers of sciences based on Western concepts instead of being their producers. He called on the ulama and hawza to focus on human sciences.
The present human sciences not only is not useful, but also it is harmful. So if we want to make them useful, we should change those principles and we should base our human sciences upon Islamic basis. We should understand the whole world. We should not disregard non-material aspect of the world or non-material aspect of human being.
To find out how the leader's suggestions have been received, we went to Jama'at al-Zahra, a theology school established especially for women. Masuma Zahiri is on the university board. She says Islamic seminaries hope to become proactive in predicting questions that may arise regarding Islam and religion and providing the answers in the best possible manner when the need presents itself.
ما پیشدستی بکنیم و پیشگام باشیم در این مسئله قبل از آنی که افکار به اضطراب و تنش و چالش کشیده باشه ما گویا اون تغذیه سالم و لازم رو از قبل تهیه کردیم و با دست پر مخاطب خودمون رو سرمایه دار وارد عرصه های مقابله با نگاه های رقیب داریم.
Zahiri says that theology schools need to connect with others around the world and boost their cooperation. Using the latest technologies in the teaching methods employed in these schools is another point she stressed upon.
یعنی یه بخشیش حضور سخت افزاریه، یه بخشیش پیام رسانی از نرم افزارهای موجود استفاده کردن. بنابراین اون جنبش نرم افزاری به نظر من خیلی مهمتر هستش، هم حضور کمی و هم حضور کیفی رو با هم باید داشته باشیم.
Another important dimension of the leader's visit to Qom was the sentiment of the people that greeted him, the residents of Iran's holiest city. On the streets of Qom, we spoke to some of the people who came out to welcome Ayatollah Khamenei.
چون بصیرتشون نسبت به اون دیدگاه‌هایی که تو این شهر به عنوان یک پایگاه مذهبی جهان اسلام هست، حالا اون بین فرقه‌ها و اینچه میتونه همبستگی خوبی ایجاد شه که با سفر ایشون به این شهر میشه صحه گذاشت بر این موضوع.
من خودم دانشجوام، تو دانشگاه جو دانشگاه دیدم کسانی بودن که واقعا مثلا تأثیرات عقایدیشون نسبت به جامعه خیلی منفی بوده، ولی از یک هفته جلوتر از اینکه مقام معظم رهبری تشریف بیارن از تو بسیج بگیر تا بقیه مکانا حضورشون اینقدر گسترده بوده، اینقدر شرکتاشون الحمدلله و فعالیتاشون گسترده بوده که اصلا ما بخوایم نمیتونیم به زبون بیاریم.
خود این جمع شدن و گرد همایی و اینکه زیر سایه ولایت همه سلیقه‌ها جمع بشن باعث برکت و همبستگی و وحدت برای جامعه است انشاءالله.
یک جان و روحی تازه در همه شهروندان قم به خصوص در فوضا و روحانیت روح تازه‌ای دمید.
طبیعتاً بیعت دوباره‌ای که مردم قم و علما با ایشون داشتن میتونه مسائل ایران و پیشبرد اهداف علمی و سیاسی و فرهنگ اجتماعی رو در سال آتی با سرعت بیشتری پیش ببره.
The issues raised by Ayatollah Khamenei in his visit to Qom concern the country as a whole and on a broader scale the Islamic world. His message was one deeply embedded in the Shia ideology, that the Muslim world must move with the times, that Muslim scholars must never fall behind in the ever-evolving world of technology or disappoint those seeking answers to their questions.